I just trust that, now I'm going to try to give all, we're kind of late, but I still want to give you what God gave to me, so we'll be here a little later than usual, but because he's excellent. His name is excellent. He is excellent. And so if you could find Psalm 54. And I got two verses that I want us to look at there. At least, you know, those will be the two verses that will kind of serve as a camping ground or a launching pad, however you want to think about it, because we're going to kind of move our way through the Bible in several different ways. But if you're physically able, would you stand, and as I read these two verses in your hearing, and then we'll try to see what God will help me to deliver today. Psalm 54, verse 6. With a freewill offering I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. Amen. Father, we love you today, and thank you for delivering us thus far, and you know the challenges we've had this morning. Before we got here, you know the challenges. Since we got here, you know the challenges that are happening right now, Lord. But you're bigger. You're the Lord, and you're able to deliver from any and every difficulty. And so we look to you now. We know where our help comes from. And so help us now, Lord, as we want to gather around the scriptures, and we ask you to feed us, Lord, from heaven today. You are the bread of life, Lord Jesus, and so feed us today for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're continuing on with this subject matter of God's goodness. And as we contemplate what we see here in this psalm, David begins the psalm by confessing that he needs help. But the help he needs is from God, okay? And so his enemies are threatening his life, and he knows that he's in real danger. And so it's a wonderful thing to be able to discern when your life is in danger and not be foolish. So many foolish people go, this theology that has people not claiming this and not claiming that. You need to know when your life is in danger so you can do something about it, yeah? So he knew his life was in danger. And so what he does then is he asked God for help. You see, that's how you deal with God. You need to ask. You don't declare, you don't decree, but you what? Ask. You ask God. Is anything we ask according to what? His will. He hears us. And so David does that, and he confesses that God is the only help against his enemies here in verses 4 and 5. And then you see that David asked the Lord to save him by his great name. Oh God, save me by your great name and vindicate me by your might. Yeah? By your great name he asked him to save him. And then finally he concludes with what we read. David confesses, he gives thanks and confesses that the Lord's name is good. The Lord's name is good. And so today, that's what I want to investigate a little bit, is just to look at and think about the goodness in the name of God. The goodness that we find in God's name. And much of it you are going to be familiar with. And so I just want to stir up your sanctified mind and memory and hopefully so that you'll leave this place praising God for the goodness of his name. All right, so we're going to begin in the Old Testament, and most of you will know these names. The first name we meet in the Bible is the name Elohim. Elohim, what? In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, what? God created. And so that's the first name that we meet in the Bible. And here we find him creating. The first thing that we find God doing. Now, he has no beginning and no end, right? And so God just began to create from eternity past. He began. So in the beginning, what beginning? The beginning of when he created. Not the beginning of God. The beginning of when he created. And so we find him being creating, meaning he is the creator. Now his name is plural. What? One God in what? Three persons. And so we find here in verse 26, I believe it is, he said, let us make man in what? Our own image. Let us what? Make man in our own image. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. And so there we find both the Old and New Testament verifying this this plurality in what? In persons, not in gods, plurality of persons. Everybody good? So we find this first name, Elohim. And then the next thing I want to mention to you all is the name El Shaddai. You've heard that one, haven't you? Yeah, in Genesis 17:1, where Abraham there was calling upon help. And it's there that this is the first time that God introduces himself as God Almighty. God Almighty. Yeah, means God all sufficient, all right? There he is expressing, you see, to Abraham that he's all powerful, he's all sufficient, God has no needs. God didn't create because he had need. No. God could have lived out the rest of eternity without anything being created. God created out of the goodness of, out of his own mind, out of his own heart. We are here simply because God desired to create. Not because he needed us. Everybody understand that? He didn't need. God has no needs. He's all sufficient God, all sufficient God, and so this El Shaddai is the point of it is that it expresses God as all powerful, all sufficient ruler. He's the ruler. That's the whole idea. You get it? El Shaddai expresses him as the ruler who has the authority in this particular case to make covenants as he's talking to Abraham. The next name we meet is Adonai. Y'all heard that name, haven't you? Adonai. We meet that in Genesis 15:2. And here God reveals himself as the master, the ruler, and the owner of his creation. Now, this name is also particularly used in worship. Psalm 57 and verse 9. Listen at it. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, that is, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. That's the name. You see? Adonai. Adonai. Hallelujah. The next name you all will be familiar with as well. You've heard people mention it. Yahweh. Yeah? Of course, then Yahweh is often translated Jehovah. Part of the challenge from the Old Testament is that this name was really just four consonants, the tetragrammaton, which is that YHWH is called. And he's the self-existent one. We find him that this speaking of himself this way in Exodus 27. God is the self-existent one, and you've heard people mention this before, is that this name was not to be pronounced. So you see, there was no vowels in it. You see, the translators added vowels. There's no vowels in the original language. So it's just that YHWH, because they just felt like the name was too holy to be pronounced. You see, and the name Jehovah came later with the Latin translation of the Bible. You understand? And so the name Jehovah is really not in the original language. As they translate it to Latin, we come up with the name Jehovah. And so many of us are familiar with the name Jehovah. Amen? Y'all follow so far? And so this great name, this great name, you know, when Moses wanted to know, God, Lord, who they, if they ask me, I don't have any authority to go to Pharaoh. And so if they ask me who's sending me, what did he say? You just tell them I am. And he said, I am what? Who I am. And so you just tell, anybody that asks Pharaoh or anybody there in Egypt that I am. Since you, I am. And so, Yahweh or Jehovah. Y'all ready to keep going? All right, let's keep going. The next group of names I'm going to give you are what we call compound names for God. And many of them, all of these that I'm going to give you are begin with Jehovah or the Yahweh, okay? So the first one you've heard of it is Jehovah Jireh, or it may be pronounced Jehovah Yireh. In Genesis 22, you remember when Abraham was there with Isaac, and there was no lamb. You remember that? And so Isaac wanted to know, where's the sacrifice? And he said, that the Lord, what? Will provide. Yeah. So Jehovah Jireh, God is our provider. And so the next name we have then, Jehovah Rophe. In Exodus 15:26, and this means that God is our healer. You've heard many of these names. God is our healer. Exodus 15:26. And the next compound name I want to mention to you all is Jehovah Nissi. You've heard of that one too, haven't you? N-I-S-S-I, Jehovah Nissi. We find that one in Exodus 17:15, and that it's translated in our Bibles as the Lord is our banner, but it basically means that God is victory. Yeah, he's our banner in victory, and that he wins. Hallelujah, he wins. Jehovah Nissi. And then the next one we meet is Jehovah M. Kadesh. And we find that in Leviticus 20 and verse 8, the Lord who sanctifies, so God is our sanctifier. You right? God is our sanctifier, Jehovah M. Kadesh. And I'm just hoping for those on Zoom, I can't take the time to spell all of these out. Hopefully for those who will be listening and watching later on, you'll be able to see the slide and to get the names if you want to jot them down later. The next one we meet Jehovah Shalom, and many of you have heard of that. Many people speak of Shalom, right? Jehovah Shalom, we meet that in Judges 6:24, means what? Peace. Yeah. God is our peace. He is our peace. And then this is probably the most familiar one most of you will remember is Jehovah Rohi. This is the first verse of Psalm 23. The Lord is my what? My shepherd. And so this is an amazing thing that we have been reading these verses time after time and maybe not connecting all of the great blessing that comes from the name, you see? The Lord is. It's in the name. The shepherd, he's the shepherd in the name. You get it? And so then you got the next one is Jehovah Tsidkenu. You've heard of that one. Jehovah Tsidkenu. We find that in Jeremiah 23:6. The Lord is my righteousness. Yeah. Righteousness. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. And then the last compound name I want to mention is Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. Find that in Ezekiel 48:35. And that says that the Lord is there, or the Lord is present, right? And so God, his presence is what we find in the word Shammah. Everybody good? So these are just these wonderful blessings that come from the name of God in the Old Testament. And you do realize that I'm approaching this much like I did last week, as much like this is kind of the buffet. When you look at the Bible is a buffet. You can't eat it all at once. I can't preach it all at once. Even though sometimes I know you think I try to preach it all at once. I don't, and I can't, and you know that. And so all that I've done is picked a few things from the buffet. There are many more things to be said about the name of God from the Old Testament, but I just selected a few, all right? These are just a few, just to get you filled. And to take care of your appetite, yeah? And for you to know that there's more. You know, when you go to a buffet, you know you can go back again. See, that's one of the wonderful things. Yeah, you don't have to try to eat it all. Why? Because you can go back again. And so I've just mentioned these, knowing, letting you know you can go back again. You can go back again and just feast more. Because his name is what? Is excellent. It's majestic, what? In all the earth, in all the universe. His name, his name, his name. Well, let me move on. That's the Old Testament. I just got a few things to say about the New Testament, all right? And so when we come to the New Testament, I'm going to outline this is that there are proper names for God in the New Testament, okay? And one of the proper names for God is in Luke 1:32. He's called God Most High. Jesus will be the Son of the what? The Most High God. You remember that? And then you go all the way to Revelation, and you find that he's the Lord God, the Almighty, Revelation 16:7. Another proper name in Acts 2:36, Jesus is called Lord and Christ, yeah? Yeah, Acts 2:36, that's a proper name, Lord and Christ. And then the last proper name I'll mention in the New Testament is found in Jude 4, is where Jesus is referred to as Master and Lord, you see. Those are all proper names, proper names. You don't have to categorize this the same way, but you know, this is just a way for you to help keep things orderly in your thinking, if you will. The next thing I'll mention is that there are some personal names. There are some personal names of God in the scriptures, right? And again, you all know these. You go all the way to the end of Matthew, and the Bible talks about people being baptized, what, in the name of the what? The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you see? Those are personal names. Personal names. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are personal names. That's the reason we can say we serve one God, but three persons. Yeah? There's no conflict there. None whatsoever. Yeah. So remember that. And then Galatians 6, and there's one or two places. Galatians 4, 6, and there's one or two places, Romans and a few other places, that it refers to God as Abba Father. Y'all remember that? Abba Father. Matthew 1, 21, it says that you shall call his name, what? Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Meaning that he will save. Yeshua. He will save. And then you go on to verse 23 there in Matthew 21. It says his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel. And then in 1 Timothy 4, when Paul is writing to Timothy, he said in the Spirit says what? In the last days, you see. So that's a personal name. Don't ever refer to the Holy Spirit as it. I know that, unfortunately, you find that some, what in the King James translation, and sometimes people pick that up wrongly, but the Holy Spirit is not it. He's a person. Person, yeah? And I'm not being critical of the King James translation. You all understand that. We just want to make sure that even when we're reading the Bible, we understand it as a what? It's translation. A translation. Because this is a personal name. The Spirit says, expressly, in the last day. You get it? And so there are some personal names from the New Testament, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Thank God that if you're a believer, you're familiar with that. You pray to the Father, you know that this is through the Son and by the power of the Spirit, and so you understand this relationship, that our God deals with us in this relationship, and we don't have any difficulty with that. We certainly don't want to think of this as being some kind of modal collage of our God. No, this is three distinct persons. This is the personhood. Everybody okay? As we talk about the name of God. One last thing then is that there are some titles or some descriptive terminology given for God in the New Testament. In Romans 1:25, he's called the Creator. Yeah. The Creator. In John 1:41, he's called Christ and Messiah. Yeah. Christ and Messiah, because that's what Christ means. It means Messiah. Just keep that in mind. He is the offering. He is the Messiah. John 14:26, he's called the Helper. Jesus said, when the Helper comes, and some versions may say the Comforter. Yeah, because he is the Paraclete, because he is. He is the Comforter, the Helper, And so that's a wonderful title and descriptive term for the Holy Spirit. And then I listed out a number of the titles for Jesus because that's what the New Testament does more with the titles and the descriptive names of Jesus than it does with the other two persons, you see. The other two persons in the Holy Spirit are, you know, typically referred to as God or the Father or the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. But with Jesus, there seems to be this this deeper emphasis on us understanding these titles and these descriptive terms. And so Jesus is referred to just in the book of John as the Lamb of God. He's referred to as the bread of life. He's referred to as the light of the world. You might know he refers to himself as the door to the sheep. Yeah? And then he says that I am the good shepherd. As you work your way through, by the way, when you work your way through these titles that I'm giving you, in each one of these phrases is this ego ami, I am, you see? It's the same terminology that you get in the Old Testament when Moses asked God, who is sending me? He said what? Tell them, I am. And so here Jesus is declaring himself to what? To be I am. This is who I am. I am. I am the door to the sheep. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. You see, you work your way through John, and you find all of these great revelations about the titles and the descriptions of Christ. And so I wanted to bring this to you today for you to think about again the wonderful name and what there is. We used to talk when we were young about what it is in a name, and most of us, I don't know about you, but most of us, you know, we were given names. We don't know much about the meaning. Do you know much about the meaning of your name? I don't. But the good thing, the beauty is that one day, one day we're going to get what? A new name. A new name. You looking forward to that? Yeah. When we finally meet Christ and see him face to face, the Bible says that we'll have, he's going to give us a new name. And each name will have tremendous significance associated with it. I wanted you to see just today that we have everything that we need in the name of our God. Everything we need is in the name of our God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runs into it for safety, yeah? Proverbs 18:10. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Proverbs 27. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 124:8. Let them praise the great and awesome name. Holy is he. Psalm 99:3, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Have you heard that before today? Yeah, you see, when Brother Lay told me what he was reading, I thought, oh, well, God, you're just confirming that this is what you want us to say to your people today. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, how excellent, how majestic is your name in all the earth, in all the earth. There is authority and power in the name of Jesus. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. Remember that? Luke 10. Jesus said, all authority, all exousia in heaven and earth has been given to me. Matthew 28. Yeah? Remember that? All of it, all exousia. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which men must be saved. I remember, I shouldn't divert here too much, but I remember, you know, I've had my license tag for a long time. And, you know, it's AC 412. And one of my employers, this probably was back in the 90s, we were going out to lunch, and they wanted to know what that meant. And I said, well, it's a scripture verse. He said, well, what does it say? I said, well, you need to look it up. Yeah, look it up for yourself. There's salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. And I wanted him to know that. Know it for himself, to read it for himself. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. There are things in heaven and on earth and what? And under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Angels bow. Demons tremble. Nature obeys the name. Diseases flee. Mountains are made low. Valleys are raised. Dry bones live again. The lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see. Celestial beings cover their feet and their faces and cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who, the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of his glory. Salvation, protection, provision, peace, power, deliverance, healing, guidance, righteousness, victory, and so much, much more is in the name of our Lord. Glory, glory to the name of God the Father. Glory to the name of Jesus the Son. Glory to the name of the Holy Spirit. Glory, glory, our God is a wonder. He's a wonder. And his name is awesome. His name is awesome. And I would invite anyone, whether here presently or watching by Zoom, that if you don't have a real relationship with God, because oftentimes when you just mention the terminology saved, people don't understand what that means. But if you don't have a right relationship with God, if you haven't been reconciled, if you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven, if you don't know for sure that you're a new creation, you see, that's found in the name of Jesus too. For there's no other name given by which you must be saved. And so I invite you to come today. Believe on him. Trust him. He will save. He will deliver. And you will be brought, delivered out of your darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. And understand what it really means to live. To live. And Jesus said, and not die. And even if he dies, what? Yet shall he live. Isn't that wonderful? We're not fearful of what's to come for us in the future, because we're going to still live. We will live. Father, thank you so much for these few minutes that we spent together, and thank you for giving us victory today. We had such a challenging start, but you were with. You promised never to leave us, never to desert us, and so we find such great comfort in knowing that you were with us today, with all of our tests and challenges and trials and difficulties. And we ask you now to draw near as we think about these wonderful truths that are all wrapped up in your name. And Lord, just flood our souls with the truth that you are bringing to your people. We love you so much. Take these little feeble words of mine and would you use them for your glory this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you, and so let's